This is Toon Talk Weekly, episode 60. This week, we're joined by our good buddy Ethan to talk all things equestrian, and we watch an episode of BoJack Horseman.
Three little orphans, one, two, three.
Without a home or a family tree.
Until this horse said, live with me.
Now we've got a new family. We were lost and now we're found, and we're horsing around.
Hey everybody, it is Tuesday once again. That means it's time for another episode of Toon Talk Weekly. I'm Jake Williams. That has not changed. Brad.
And I am Brad Chmielewski, and that has not changed.
That has also not changed, but we've brought back our first ever repeat guest on Toon Talk Weekly.
Oh my gosh.
Our buddy Ethan Barnowski. Ethan, what's going on, man?
Hello, I am excited to be here.
You sound not so excited.
You sound scared, too.
Maybe we brought you, I mean, we had you, we put...
I mean, it's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, we put Doug on a pedestal, I think, the last episode you were on, which was like 20 or 30, maybe?
It was a while ago,
it was
yeah.
pretty far
Years
back.
Years ago.
And that, you know, that was a decent show, and I think what we learned that... It didn't live up to what we thought it was originally.
Yeah.
Basically, I think if we can summarize the Doug episode, it was that Doug didn't stand the test of time. And then we decided to do an episode of the show BoJack Horseman, which is, I think, I can say this, it's the newest cartoon that exists.
I guess I think that Welcome to the Wayne came out the week before.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then this came out.
And I think generally, like, I don't know, we like to do this like new old, like go back and forth between shows, but... This being the newest show, and it just happened to pop up on an ad. Did you guys hear anything about this before it even got launched? Like,
No, I didn't hear anything about it. Well, it's also tough too because you can't see a commercial for it because it's on Netflix. You may see it on the banner of Netflix when you go to the homepage that this is coming, whatever day it launched. But other than that, I didn't hear anything about this.
Yeah, there was like a trailer a couple of months ago maybe, and I remember seeing that and then completely fell off my radar and I forgot about it until it was mentioned recently.
Yeah, I feel like we were going to Netflix for one of the previous shows we did maybe like a couple of weeks ago, and I saw the banner and I was like, oh, let's do that, I guess. That looks funny. That looks great. If you could tell by the sound of our voices, I think maybe it's going to probably lead into what the discussion of this show is going to talk about. But I think we're just going to spend time talking about BoJack today, if we think we can deal with it.
We can make it through, yeah.
So we did an episode of this new show, BoJack Horseman, which is created by Raphael Bob Waxberg. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. For Netflix, it actually premiered on August 22nd, 2014. So what, a week ago? By the time this is put out, maybe 2 weeks ago. And it has one season and 12 episodes. And you guys might not believe this, but 4 days after it aired, it was renewed for a second season.
Wow, people loved it that much, huh?
How did Netflix get enough data in 4 days to decide, like, did people binge watch it and love it that much that they were like, yes, let's get this?
I couldn't imagine that was the case.
It's all a sham in my opinion.
Like, you think they knew they were going to do this at some point?
Yeah, I think that they just had planned however many episodes are in this season, 6 or 10 or whatever, mm-hmm. and just decided, well, we'll do 20, but we'll release a couple and then create some buzz.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you hear about how like cutthroat TV has been lately, like shows last for a season and they're cut before it's even over. Like, yeah. They just have no time or patience for the ratings or anything. But when you release it to Netflix or something, really, I'm assuming you're just paying for the upfront cost of making the show, as well as like maybe there's some fee to be like, oh, you're going to be on our network or whatever. But there's like, it seems like there's such low overhead to have a web show. Why wouldn't they just, have 2 seasons already planned out at that point?
Well, and they probably wanted to make sure they locked these actors in that are big name actors. And in case they like did something even more popular, then they're going to be like, oh, well, I don't have time for your show anymore. And like, well, you got a contract because we have season 2.
Right. Well, if you consider somebody like, at least Aaron Paul and Will Arnett, they're executive producers. So where were they going to go anyway?
True. Well, so if Will Arnett is going nowhere.
Oh, come on. Come on. Another season of Arrested Development, please. I don't know. It just seemed interesting news to be like 4 days after, which I only got a chance to watch 2 episodes. I think you guys each got 2 or 3 episodes mm-hmm. in. And I don't know. Why renew it? I don't know. Like, let it sit for a little while. Even House of Cards, like, I don't think they immediately knew they were going to do more. Even though I guess that show's based on something, right? So it could have come back. But I guess the series in general, right, is set in the world where it's a weird world of humans, which humans are like a backseat to everybody else, it feels like, in the show. And yet anthropomorphic animals live side by side them. Like, it's just normal that this guy is a horse who happened to star in a sitcom.
And who has sex with humans and other animals.
And cats and bunnies or whatever, right? And it focuses on the life of this washed-up 90s sitcom star, BoJack Horseman, as he tries to sort of get back to celebrity relevance. I guess you'd describe him, if we're talking about some of the characters, BoJack is like a self-loathing, like, frustrated dude, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Is there anything else to... I was trying to relate him to a real sitcom star who, like, maybe back in the 90s or even early 80s or something... Is there a sitcom star that he, like, parallels or that you guys think of when you see this character?
Well, based on his show, too, that he's in, the Horsin' Around, I think of Bob Saget from Full House.
I think of Bob Saget, too. Mm-hmm. I think also, like, Bob Saget's real life, or at least public life, mm-hmm. he's, in interviews and stuff, he'll talk about how he's went through kind of the same kind of stuff that BoJack is doing, like, alcoholic binges and mm-hmm. stuff like that, not being able to get away from that role.
It seems like this could be a pretty generic story of anybody who was popular in like the early 90s or something in a sitcom, right? Because those shows have a very nostalgic feeling for us, and they were like, oh man, I love seeing them every week, this is great, and now what are they doing, right? We don't... It's 2014, what the hell's Bob Saget doing? Seriously. No, really, what is Bob Saget doing?
He's a stand-up.
Still drinking and just...
He's on the Nerdist once in a while.
Lots of sex.
He probably is in Vegas doing casinos and stuff.
Yeah.
Right. So I guess that's actually a really good parallel. I will not... I guess I will mention that I maybe said Seinfeld off air, but I won't offend Seinfeld or make you guys hate me anymore while we're talking about this. But some of the other characters in the show, how would you guys describe or talk about Todd Chavez? Who is Todd Chavez in the show?
Who's Todd Chavez?
Who is Todd Chavez?
You don't know? Oh, it's his roommate, voiced by Aaron Paul.
I just kept thinking Jesse Pinkman. He just looks like...
I didn't even know they
voice.
Mentioned his name.
They mentioned his name, Todd. I literally had to look it up that his last name is Chavez, which makes something that happens in the episode make a little more sense, I guess, but...
Okay.
It's a weird storyline. I don't know. So Todd is like, a slacker roommate.
He's just the dude that sleeps on the couch. Mm-hmm. I could think of half-baked, like... Oh, that's dude.
Yeah, he kind of grounds the environment a little bit, but mm-hmm. he adds his own element.
Yeah, don't you feel like sometimes he's the voice of reason in some things, and then other times he's just totally high and doesn't know what he said, so you almost can't take his advice seriously?
Yeah.
Or something. He's a little weird. We also have Princess Carolyn. How would you guys describe who this character is?
So that's his pseudo-girlfriend / agent.
Mm-hmm. She's a cat. She's a cat. Again, like, kind of weird. And I didn't know her role in the series until... I feel like the first episode did a weird job of introducing to you who these people were and what they were going to be for the series, right?
I do enjoy all the, like, little cat references when we see her desk and her car and things like that that she has, where she just has, like, a scratching post or a ball of yarn hanging from her car. Like, that kind of stuff is funny. Like, there's the moments in the show where you see something happen that are much funnier than the jokes.
Is it funny?
I think it's the stuff you see
in
happen.
The lens of watching that show.
Yeah, the details.
It's hilarious, but outside of that, maybe not.
We also have Diane. I can't even pronounce her last name. Diane Nguyen? Nguyen?
Is that the ghostwriter?
This is the ghostwriter. Another human, like one of two humans that's really a main character in the mm-hmm. show. And I guess the other character who's interesting and probably my favorite, honestly, of these first two episodes is Mr. Peanut Butter.
So Mr. Peanut Butter, he had a show that was him who adopted three kids. So what show, like what in the 90s or what sitcom had this show that you'd be like, oh, that's the lesser Full House or mm-hmm. The only thing that comes to mind is like Just the 10 of Us.
Yeah, or like, well, Step by Step, all those shows kind of have like a family living under one roof under these weird circumstances and mm-hmm. they'll just make it work out.
Mm-hmm.
So really, it's just like a commentary on what those shows possibly were, but they take the extreme version and say it was the exact same show, just different main characters.
Yeah, yeah, maybe.
Is the way. I don't even remember. I think it was called like Mr. Peanut Butter's House or something.
Something like
that. It wasn't nearly as clever as that.
As horsing around.
Right. Man, I don't even know where to begin with this show. So I guess we'll just dive into the episode and I don't know, guys. I'm sorry. I'm like trying to be positive about it, but I want to like the show.
I think we all wanted to like the show. The trailer is great. It makes the show look really funny. And we were kind of excited to watch it because it looked hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the stars, the you know people involved, Amy Sedaris, Paul F. Tompkins, Aaron Paul, Will Arnett, Patton Oswalt does a bunch of voices. Yeah. Like everyone involved is really awesome in their careers, but and they were all involved in the show, so I assumed they must have been in on its, you know,
writing and
tone
creation
and
yeah.
I guess not.
Well, so we decided to do just because we're new to this show and trying to get introduced to it. We decided to do season one, episode one, called BoJack Horseman: The BoJack Horseman Story, Chapter One. As ominous as that is. So we begin the episode with a clip from the show Horsin' Around, which I don't know that I knew right off the bat. But because I knew the premise of the show, I guess I knew that it was probably a clip from his show and not actually what I was going to be watching. Although, truthfully, after watching this episode, I kind of would have rather watched a season of Horsin' Around.
Yeah, honestly. Can they just renew season two just Horsin' Around?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
So we begin with a clip of Horsin' Around, BoJack's old TV show. I think he's got a great like 90s sweater on. But then we get Charlie Rose cutting in. So we now learn that we're just being shown a clip and BoJack's actually being interviewed on the Charlie Rose show. This is right away where you get the tone of like what BoJack is. He starts saying stuff like he parked in a handicap spot, doesn't know if he's going to get a ticket. He's super drunk and he drove there. Talking about kicking Charlie Rose in their urethra. Like this joke goes on way too long of like just compounds. Oh, I'm a jerk. And I also did this jerky thing and this jerky thing. It just keeps going to the point where right 5 minutes into the episode, I thought we're beating a dead horse and I wasn't trying to be like funny at all. Like this, you know, and then of course, Charlie Rose asked him like, what the hell have you been doing for the last 18 years? Like clearly being a jerk, right? Like, I don't know. What do you guys think of what BoJack is? This is the first introduction you're getting to this character.
Yeah, it just seems like he's didn't do anything. He's still like living off that and he didn't know what to do. And he just kind of almost lucked out that he even got that role. Because he probably would be, you know, working at McDonald's if he didn't get that to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I think we'll all say this a lot. Like, we really wanted to like the show. Yeah. Like, it's all laid out. The premise I loved, like, you know, washed up sitcom actor. Like, I love how bad sitcoms are and they're really entertaining. And I love characters like him where he's just kind of a jerk and stuff, you know, and you have to, like, kind of learn to love him.
Mm-hmm.
But the first episode doesn't give even, like, a pinch of of hope for his character to, like, be likable.
Yeah, I think the learn to love him is actually a thing that they're, like, stacking the deck against this guy right from the beginning. Like, they're trying to make it seem how bad he's gotten from how lovable he was at one point. But man, right off the bat, I'm like, this guy's just kind of a jerk. Like, I love Will Arnett, so I was like kind of okay with him, but
yeah.
I don't know, it wasn't working for me. But after that, we get the what I believe is probably the best part of the show right now is the intro sequence is actually pretty cool. It's a pretty catchy song, whatever it is.
It's a good intro. It's long.
It is long. It also reminds me of because Aaron Paul's involved, I thought of this, the Breaking Bad scene where he actually does heroin for the first time and like floats up off the bed and stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's just sort of moving around.
Yeah, it's kind of like BoJack, basically after his popular show, it's the intro sequence is him staring at the camera like kind of what brain dead, basically, while life happens around him. And now we're in the place we're in. So it's very topical for what it is.
Yeah, I really like that intro. Mm-hmm. And I watched a couple episodes and that was sort of the best part of it.
Yeah. Oh, man. So in BoJack's crazy awesome apartment, I'm assuming, I guess it could be a house right up on the hill. Clearly
it's a
he
house because he has a gate we
true.
See later. Yeah.
And he made a ton of money, clearly, from the show. So now he lives in this huge apartment. He wakes up to his roommate, who is played by Aaron Paul, or Todd, as we talked about earlier, already awake. I don't even remember what this scene was, aside from the fact that they gave a little bit of backstory as to why Todd is his roommate. It sounds like they just had a party and he didn't leave, basically. Yeah. So he didn't know this guy until then. Hold on. I actually have to bring up, you said if he wouldn't have gotten this role, he would have worked at McDonald's. So like, in this world we're accepting that if a horse didn't get a TV show, he'd probably work fast food. Sorry.
I wouldn't want him touching my food, but...
Yeah, come on now. He's only cash register. That's all you're allowed to do. So then we cut to BoJack having lunch with a guy named Pinky Penguin, who this is one of Patton Oswalt's voices, I think. And then I think in a later episode, I noticed you can almost pick up Patton Oswalt in,
yeah,
in
like character. Yeah, he sort of just tweaks his voice 10% into a different emotion.
And he's discussing with Pinky Penguin about writing his memoir. I think it's funny that they actually chose that Penguin Publishing, right? I think is an actual publishing company. Yeah. Maybe not. I think it's just a parallel one of this one. But he's talking about writing his memoir. And basically, clearly BoJack's not working on this memoir whatsoever. He's been doing other things, partying, doing what he can. Also,
nothing.
The Penguin...
He's been doing nothing.
Nothing. Well, that's... Yeah. I agree. And the Penguin actually says that the company's in financial trouble, right? So,
as you know, Penguin is very eager to publish your memoirs, but you keep missing your deadlines.
I know, and I'm sorry, but I am making great progress. BoJack Horseman, The BoJack Horseman Story. Written by BoJack Horseman. Chapter 1.
Says, clearly BoJack decides, all right, fine, I'm going to do this. This is my priority. I'm definitely going to start working on this. We cut to a week later, and he's totally forgotten about it. I think he gets a call from Pinky Penguin and is like, oh, crap, my memoir. Like, what was I doing? I'm going to get really confused here. I'm going to try to, like, keep this on track. There's a series of cutaways that happen right here, one of which is this first 1 week later cutaway, right? Mm-hmm. That I think the show just doesn't do a good job about keeping your mind where you should actually be. Where in the time space, like, should I actually be paying attention?
Yeah, I guess on the flip side of that, I say it doesn't matter because he doesn't do anything, so it doesn't matter when it happened.
Mm-hmm. So you assume I didn't miss stuff?
You didn't miss anything because nothing happened. He was drinking and watching horsing around. Mm-hmm. That's all he does.
That's all he does. Drinks so and watches reruns.
It could have been a week later. It could have been a month from now. It could have been 2 years ago.
I just meant in a show like, for as much crap as people give Family Guy, that's my example of a show with a lot of flashbacks or remember the time when whatever, but they always ground it in like, here's normal life. Here's the cutaway, sure. And then we're going to come back, and I can understand, I can wrap my head around what just happened. Like, oh, this has nothing to do with it. This was just a joke that they wanted to tell, basically. So anyway, we cut to a week later. He forgot about his memoir. He is watching reruns of his old show. He's actually singing the theme song, and he has to, like, explain jokes to Todd while he's watching it. All the jokes are, like, hay or horse-related, but that's a 90s sitcom thing, right? They were, like, dad jokes. Yeah. They were dad jokes before they were dad jokes, sure. Really. So Todd assumes he's actually just upset because I think he's more upset that he's a failure, but he assumes he's upset because Princess Carolyn just recently dumped him at this point. Didn't know who this character was, so now we're about to learn it, I guess. We cut to them having dinner, them being BoJack and Princess Carolyn. I'm just going to call her Carolyn. I don't know why she's a princess. Just because she's pink? She's a pretty cat.
You know, it's a cat. You name cats like a princess. Like, cats have princess names. Like,
I didn't know this was a thing. I don't have a cat right now. Are your cats named after royalty?
They could be.
They could be. King Tweak. cut to them having dinner, and BoJack's talking about, I guess they're talking about, like, seeing other people, and once again, like, we learn that he's a jerk. He's like, oh, we weren't seeing other people, and he's sleeping around with some other lady or something, right? I there's so many random cutaways in this scene that I don't care about. Like, tell me why I should care about these characters, right? Like, they're just making him out to be more and more of a jerk, and I'm not loving it so far.
Okay.
That's where I'm at. I don't know. And Carolyn, even the, once again, another cutaway, but this cutaway was actually really good. Carolyn says they never wanted to have kids, and it cuts to somebody saying, like, oh, that baby's so nice or whatever.
Yeah.
And his overreaction of, what, a cute kid, like, flips over this stroller, steals a car, drives it into somebody.
Cops come. And...
Yeah, but the cops notice that he's the guy from that show, mm-hmm. right? I think that ends up happening a lot. So we cut back to dinner, and Mr. Peanut Butter shows up, who's the, we talked about as like the, he's like the opposite of him, right? Because he was in the same situation, but he's like pretty positive about life now.
Right. His show maybe was as popular, but it wasn't as good, but he's still, he's enjoying the ride.
Mm-hmm. And so he shows up at dinner. Of course, he comes over because they're in the middle of breaking up. It's totally awkward, like, that he would want to show up and talk to them. Every time he shows up, by the way, I'm assuming this must happen into episode 3, that he's like, is this a crossover episode? And he thinks it's funny every single time, but BoJack, obviously being such a jerk, doesn't feel that.
Hey, stupid, isn't that your friend over there?
Mr. Peanut Butter? God, I hope he doesn't see us.
Is that BoJack Horseman?
Oh, geez, here we go.
Mr. Peanut Butter and BoJack Horseman in the same room. What is this, a crossover episode?
You know, that gets funnier every time.
You're being sarcastic, but I think it does actually get funnier every time.
We're actually in the middle of breaking up right now, so if you could just...
Yeah? You're in the middle of it?
Yeah, that's right.
So would it be awkward if I joined you right now?
Yes, actually, it's very awkward. Is that not clear?
Yeah, this is awkward right now?
Yes, please leave.
We finally get back to the house after they've broken up.
But I did like the moment where they're like, oh, we have to leave. Dinner's over. And he gets charged for the bread. He's like,
Oh, right.
I want to live in a world where I have to pay for free bread. And they're like, sir, you ate 11 baskets. It's only free when you get a meal.
Right. And even though he ate that much, it was only like $10 for that bread. So he's still... got a pretty good deal.
That's a lot of bread. He's a horse, but that's a lot of bread.
Yeah. Be a bummer to be an anthropomorphic horse in a human's world, because you got to eat a lot more than a normal human.
The portions are just not for you at all. So finally, we're back at his house. He was leaving dinner with that bread to bring her home, and Todd ends up wanting to throw a party. I think we learn a little bit here why Todd wanted to throw a party, but this side story didn't care.
Yeah, first we do learn that how did Todd even know that they broke up, because he never took Princess Caroline home.
Right. I guess that might have been the funniest part, spoiler, of this entire episode, was that all of this crap just happened, this conversation, which really was a flashback, and they were just sitting...
to another flashback.
Right. They were just sitting at home watching reruns, thinking about this, and the entire time Carolyn was just there. They never took her home. Like, that might have been the funniest realization of that scene. Ends up driving her home and kicks her out of the car, but she's a cat, lands on her feet.
Yeah,
you know, immediately gets a call back from her, and turns out we ruined it earlier, but she's his agent. I didn't know this.
Mm-hmm. There's probably a funny LA joke there, like, oh, I'm not gonna look for parking in Silver Lake.
Yeah, he said, I'm not gonna look for parking in Silver Lake,
which, you know,
if you've never been,
you might not be as funny or didn't know what Silver Lake is, but
I have a buddy that lives in Silver Lake. It's not that bad, okay? It's up and coming. It's fine. You can't knock Silver Lake like that. She once again asks to get a draft of the memoir because she's all business now. She does mention that she can separate, you know, her business and personal life. Seems like she does a decent job, I guess. And at Penguin Publishing, the office looks like trash. This place is like run down. And the Penguins are doing nothing but sliding around. They're not, like, helping their cause. If anything, these might be the most lovable characters in this series. So BoJack has obviously nothing to give them because he hasn't done anything. And they can't wait any longer, so they're going to hire him a ghostwriter to actually help him. I guess the ghostwriter they hired, Diane, had actually written the autobiography or the biography of his, like, his idol secretariat, like some racing horse or something. I don't know if that had any, like, reference to anything, but...
But he was actually, like, a running horse. Like, not a horse as we know, but he was, like, a...
Like an athlete horse?
Like a marathon. Yeah. Oh. Like, you know, 100-yard runner.
I just wish it was Seabiscuit instead, like, somebody I could relate to. So, once again, back at home... BoJack,
I can relate to,
yeah. In this world, I can relate to him. Back at home, BoJack totally feels like a failure. He feels like he never should have signed this book deal. It's like, dude, at this point, stop it. Stop beating yourself up. I get it. Like, how are you guys feeling about BoJack at this point? Like, are you loving him yet?
No.
He's
I don't even love to hate him.
He should probably just kill himself.
He would be the guy handing it. Here's the gun. Just go handle this.
Here's these pills. Take them.
Oh, my God. So Todd and Carolyn are trying to encourage him to actually call the ghostwriter. Basically, BoJack feels unwanted. He finally feels washed up. And I guess him being a jerk at this point is his response to all of this.
Hey, why don't you just let that lady write your book and be done with it?
Better question, why are you in my kitchen?
I'm making breakfast. We had sex last night, dummy.
Ugh, I really gotta start putting my phone on airplane mode when I drink. This lady probably thinks I'm just some dumb sitcom actor. I hate her and her stupid, impossible to pronounce last name. Naguya Gugugugugu.
You haven't even met her.
BoJack wants everyone to like him, basically. We get a cutaway. I think he, like, ends up falling over, thinking he's having a heart attack or dying or something. Once again, a cutaway to him in the hospital, like being covered up, and he's dying, or they tell these kids he's dying. Turns out it was a clip from the season finale of the show. Like,
but she's like, I think we went too dark.
I think we went way over the overdid kid, it.
The line in that episode of the show was like, yeah, you didn't love him enough, and he died.
Yeah.
You're going back to foster care.
Yeah, it's like the credits roll. I like that.
Kind of an awesome way to actually end the series. And then, so he's actually in the hospital watching that clip. I think at some point here, Todd mentions, like, do you just bring these DVDs around with you? Like, I don't know, not most of the show, but like three or four times we cut to horsing around at some point in this episode. He actually had a mild anxiety attack, and when he's asked to call the ghostwriter to actually do it and work more, he has another anxiety attack. Like, they're really just compounding this.
You've been overstressed. I need you to take it easy.
Take it easy? Are you kidding? He doesn't have a job. He has no real responsibilities. He doesn't do anything but take it easy.
Well, can you take it even easier?
I can try, Doctor. I can try.
And Todd finally actually gets to hold a party. I think the party is the reason to invite the ghostwriter over, to like make it less stressful, right?
Mm-hmm.
Less than just a call, I guess. And we end up with the final scene of the episode where they're actually at the party at BoJack's awesome house. And he's basically wondering who all these people are at the party. It's a lot of Spanish people, like Hispanic people at this party. And we got this backstory earlier that was Todd basically owes this guy money or owes him something, right? Like,
he owes him he owes him money because now the guy couldn't afford to put down the deposit. This drug kingpin.
Oh, he had like 100 people coming or something. He needed a place to hold a party, right?
Yeah.
I didn't care about this story. Like, Todd, it was something like Todd's never had stress in his life or whatever, and this was his stress. He didn't seem that stressed while he was getting his kneecaps hit with a bat or something. I don't know. So that's all the people who are at this party are the people that Todd owes this party. It's clearly got like a pinata who's a horse, which BoJack didn't appreciate. BoJack actually runs into Mr. Peanut Butter, and this is at the party, and this is where I realized like that he's totally his opposite. It's like, dude, you guys both had basically the same career path. He was less successful than you, and he's loving life. You're just a jerk to everybody you meet. BoJack meets with his ghostwriter, Diane, on the balcony. And I do have a clip to throw in here. She is, like, super awkward.
I don't know. Parties make me anxious in a real broad sense. Like, look at that guy. He's having fun. Why haven't I figured it out?
What guy?
No, there's no guy there. I'm just saying, like, a guy, you know?
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'm probably just overthinking it because I never got the practice because I didn't get invited to any parties in high school. What am I talking about? You don't care about any of that. Shut up, Diane. You're at a party. Compliment the host. You have a lovely home.
Yeah, well.
She is how I am at parties, I think, honestly, where you're like, oh, that guy's having fun. Why can't you have fun? And then you start talking about stuff that you realize halfway through, you're like, you don't care. You do not care about what I'm saying. But at this party, would you guys like, I don't know, if you guys were at this party, there's only a handful of people who are friends with BoJack and stuff, and everybody else is like Todd's favor, right? Like,
yeah.
I wouldn't want to be at this party at all.
Well, yeah. Why was, you get the point of like the ghostwriter was there because of they invited her to the party, but then why is Mr. Peanut Butter there? Which we find out in a minute that the ghostwriter and Mr. Peanut Butter are a couple.
Yeah.
So it's like, why is Peanut Butter there? And it's like, well, all this weird party stuff.
I think that's kind of a commentary on, like, you know, the Hollywood celebrity life or whatever. Like, I haven't lived it personally. But
yet.
I assume. Yeah, but I will in the future be having lots of parties in my mansion where I don't know anybody. So
yeah. I'll be eating peanut butter.
Yeah. Why is this peanut butter here? I don't know.
I don't know. This is the way we handle things here in Hollywood. So we do find out, as you said, that they Mr. Peanut Butter and Diane are dating. And there's, once again, like, the joke goes on for way too long that they're dating for him to figure it out. And eventually, of course, he feels sick that they're actually dating, because I think he was actually trying to get close to Diane, or at least it felt like it there for a minute.
Well, but she's a female and he just sleeps with anybody.
Basically. And once he finds out that, you know, they're dating, he actually vomits profusely over a balcony, which is probably the best slapsticky, like, whatever kind of gag in this entire thing, that he vomits a lot. Maybe it's just that Will Arnett making vomiting noises is just funny. Maybe that's all that it was there. I think there was also a chunk here in their discussion of like him deciding when she could start writing about his life. Basically, like, oh, starting now, you can actually write about my life. Now. Because he's checking out other girls or he's throwing up or doing whatever. And that's basically the first episode of BoJack Horseman. So
holy crap. Like, that was just confusing to, like, recap.
Yeah. I can't even. There's so many, like, great, I think great with quotes, one-liners in this episode. But they just fall really flat, right? Like, that's the vibe I was getting, at least.
Yeah. I couldn't figure out, like, what it was exactly that I didn't like so much about the humor and stuff of it, but I think it's because I was always, and I think you get everyone, the audience that watches is like two steps ahead of the joke that they're telling, and then they like stretch out that joke extra long instead of like turning us on our heads, you know, before the end of like a punchline or something. Like, it was not smart writing in that we could predict what was going to happen
right
at all times.
So you're saying like they almost went for the easy joke every single time.
Yeah, and then I thought, oh, they're gonna like do something funny with this easy joke. Oh, uh-huh. No, they're just gonna like say it three times in a row in a different way and then move on to the next plot point.
Yeah, I can't remember really laughing watching this. It was just like, all right, I get it. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's the hard part, is that because of everybody involved, as we mentioned in the beginning, that's why we're excited for a show like this. But I don't remember. I remember halfway through this episode saying, I am not laughing. I am just going through the motions with this show. And, you know, I wanted to attribute that to being the pilot. Sometimes pilots, any show,
yeah,
is not very strong. The people are trying to figure out their characters, gain their ground, and that kind of thing. I've gone on and watched the second episode, which I felt the same exact way.
Yeah.
And I think, Ethan, you've gotten episode 3.
Yeah.
And it still feels the same.
Yeah.
Like, just a little, don't you guys just feel like there's something, what is it that's missing from the show? Like, the atmosphere, maybe it is the writing that it's not, that could also help, that it's not quite, we don't need to figure it out or, like, connect the dots and then laugh. Like, it's just laid out for us, and it's very apparent what the joke is going to be. I just feel empty watching this show.
I think it's because it's a cartoon. The wackiness is missing, the, like, imagination of it all. Like, oh, great, you're animals. This could be a normal sitcom, and yeah, okay.
Yeah, like they did the one thing that they used the opportunity successfully with was, you know, the animal thing, where like in the second episode, there's a part where like there's a chicken man walking by, and then he like she lays an egg like when she gets shocked or whatever, you know, there's stuff like that, like where the cat thing, like with Princess Carolyn, yeah, like she has like cat toys on her desk and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like a good visual gag, but yeah, other than that, like it doesn't have to be a cartoon.
Yeah, I think those things, they call it like little details. The cat things are a great example of like little details that remind you, oh yeah, she's like not a human, she also does cat things, but it's still just it's like not enough for me. Maybe I'm asking too much of this show, I don't know.
Yeah, like I would almost rather see her as a real person who was like a cat lady and had all this like cat stuff. I think that would be even funnier if she was just like obsessed with cats. Mm-hmm. If it was a normal show.
Yeah. I just feel like the wit is missing, right? Like I feel like I'm beating a dead horse here, talking about the writing in general, but it's just like, okay, get it. Like, move on. The joke wasn't funny. Can you come up with something better or something? And again, I feel like maybe I'm just asking too much of this show. Like from what we've learned of this pilot, I can only assume that the rest of the series, or at least this first season, is him writing this book. I can only assume he gets further along at some point. But, like, I don't know. I don't see the pot of gold. I don't see what's going to happen at the end. Like, okay, what if he finishes his book? People like him again? I don't know. I don't know that I care. I don't know that they made me care about these characters.
Yeah, and, you know, I think we all watched the second episode and even the third because we wanted to like the show. And we're like, all right, maybe we're missing something here. It did get another season. There's all these people involved. But no, I don't. If you haven't started watching it, I would say don't start. There's no reason to.
Yeah, at least wait until the second season happens. Maybe find out from a trusted friend if it gets any better, but don't waste your own time.
Yeah, I feel like I've never wanted to like a show more in my life.
Yeah, it's so weird,
yeah,
right?
And I think part of that, too, is that we didn't really touch on yet is the animation style of the design of the characters and stuff is cool. And, like,
Yeah.
Coloring and everything. Like, there's textures and everything on the characters that are really nice. And, yeah, and the tone and the mood and everything.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think, the style and the way they quickly cut together the trailer, I guess, was a big selling point. But honestly, the art style, and I'm pretty sure they animate this in Flash, at least the way it looks like some of the characters turn and the textures on, like, some of the characters. Like, BoJack always has the same grunge, like, stain texture in the same places on his body, which is weird, like, the way that, as animators, we all seem to work is like, oh, we like to do that style too. So something about the character design and everything is great, except that I will say Todd's character is just like, could be any dude. It doesn't matter that he looks like that. Mm-hmm. But I think that's what drew us to the series mainly, was the look of it. And I was just left so disappointed. This is opening a bad Christmas present is what this is. Like, it just, I don't know. It didn't rope me in. I have heard that it's not reviewing incredibly well. And I've heard maybe the back half gets better, but I don't know if I can stick this out, guys. Would you guys recommend this show to people, or are you guys going to try to stick this out at all?
No, like I said, don't watch it if you haven't started. I'm not going to watch anymore. I can't do it.
I can't.
There's plenty of other, you know, cartoons that I want to watch still that I haven't put all my time into, and
yeah,
rather just watch those.
I feel like maybe I, like, part of me right now, right this moment, and I'll say it on the show, I want to bite the bullet for us guys and like just watch it and be able to tell you, be like, dude, after episode 6, whoo. But I'm kind of like,
that's 3 hours of episode 6. It's like, oh my God, you wasted all this time.
I would probably be better off watching like 3 episodes of Game of Thrones, right? Like getting started with that.
For sure.
Or like, yeah, exactly. Like there's so many other things to watch. So I think from the Toon Talk Weekly stamp of approval, we're not giving it to the show, basically. I would say, no, I would not say watch Bobby's World before this. I think that's going a little too far.
Here's what you do. Watch Entourage or one of those shows about Hollywood if you need to get that, you know, aspect of life.
Yeah.
And then watch a good cartoon.
Yeah. I think maybe season 2 is Mr. Peanut Butter's perspective on this, like, same series. Maybe it's way better and way more positive.
Now that I could get into.
Like, he seems like a better character generally in this series, but I don't know. I think moving forward, we're going to nix BoJack Horseman. I'm so bummed that I was so excited about a show that I've never cared less about, actually, after watching it. And I hate to be so negative, but I mean, we're going to review these shows as they are, and this one is just bland. It's not anything that I could care to watch any more of. I got a whole half season of Regular Show to finish. Like, maybe I'll do that.
Thanks for nothing, Raphael Waxman.
We'll send that on to him. I hope he doesn't listen to the show.
You can find my Twitter at...
Right. Well, actually, yeah. I mean, we might as well get out of here, because I think any of us don't want to beat this dead horse anymore. And that's the third time I've beat this dead horse.
You've beaten that joke like a dead horse.
See, I've been watching this show. I watched an hour of this show, and now I can't stop saying the same joke.
Because of it.
I'm like so much more empty inside. Let's get out of here. Let's, Ethan, where can people find out more about what you're up to on the internet?
Well, Raphael or any other audience member, at Ethan Barnowski is my Twitter, and that's probably the best place to find me.
Cool. And how about you, Brad?
On Twitter, it's at brad, and then my blog is digitalhitchhiker.com.
Awesome. Guys, go check them out. Follow them up on the social media. You can also follow me on Twitter, at Jacob Williams. You can also follow the show on Twitter, at Toon Talk Weekly. Of course, if you want to send us any feedback, a better episode of BoJack Horseman to watch, you can email us at toontalkweekly@gmail.com. And, of course, our website, toontalkweekly.com, for shows, show notes, links, anything else we feel like throwing up there. I think that's going to wrap our discussion on BoJack Horseman. Guys, maybe this weekend, it's a long weekend, I might bite the bullet and actually get around to watching some more, but I will TBD at this point. Next week, though, we're going to dive into an episode of an older series, which I have never seen, called Pawpaws. Is this something you guys have seen before?
I've never seen this, but we came across a clip of it, and it looks really cute.
Is it like dogs or cats, or it's some 80s, it's like mid-80s show.
I thought it was bears.
Oh, bears? Oh my gosh. So it's like a mid-80s show. I think it's going to be along the same vein of the Gummy Bear show that we did last week. And Smurfs. So a little obscure. Let's go obscure from like the newest cartoon possible to obscure 80s cartoon.
That barely anybody remembers or watched.
But maybe I'll...
Might be better than...
The best.
Yeah, it might be amazing. So we're going to do that, but that's going to end this episode of Toon Talk Weekly. We'll be back next week with another cartoon.
See ya.
To learn more about the show, visit toontalkweekly.com or follow us on Twitter at toontalkweekly.